Next up, we have an interview with Ben Rosenblum regarding his upcoming Nebula Project concert at University of Tampa. We did have a few technical difficulties, as it seems sunspots may have been impacting our nebula. Hi, everybody. This is Anna Marie Smith-Butts with Radio St. Pete, Sunshine 96.7 FM. And I am thrilled to be in studio with a rising, phenomenally talented musician by the name of Ben Rosenblum, who will be joining us February 24th. I'm going to ask him to give a little bit more information about the dates and the concert. We thought we'd take the opportunity to find out a little bit more about Ben, what drives him and what drives his music styles. So, Ben, if you would, take a moment and introduce to our audience, some of whom may be new to your music, who you are and what you're all about.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, first of all. It's a pleasure to get to talk about my music. And for those who might not be familiar, my name is Ben Rosenblum. I am a pianist and accordionist based in New York City. I play in jazz music styles, as well as a number of music styles from different world music genres, including Brazilian music, music from the Caribbean, Eastern European music, Irish music. And I like to try to take all of these disparate influences and then bring them into my original compositions. And in the past, I've been touring extensively in Florida with my trio, which has just been me on piano and accordion, as well as a bass player and a drummer. We've done consecutive tours, even through the pandemic. We managed to every year tour in the Florida area since 2018, I think. We've done every year. So this will be maybe our sixth year. And this year is particularly special because we'll be touring with a six-person group, which is called the Ben Rosenblum Nebula Project. So this is the plus a guitarist, a trumpet player, and multi-reed saxophone, flute, bass clarinet. And this project really gives a lot of opportunities for me as a composer to explore a lot of different musical timbres, a lot of different musical styles and intersections. And on February 24th, we're going to be at the University of Tampa. So this is my third time going to the University of Tampa. The last two times were trio. We've done work with the students there. We've done work, a recording composition that Professor Bradford Blackburn wrote for us, and we'll be doing one of his arrangements at the concert as well. And then you're going to be hearing mostly my original composition at the concert, some of which we recorded on our most recent CD, A Thousand Pebbles, which came out last year, and some of which is going to be brand new music that we're recording this year. I'm really excited for that. And it's going to be a free admission show as well. So I'm particularly excited to get the word out and hope as many people can join us as possible.
That is wonderful. So there's a lot for me to unpack in what you just shared. The first thing I do want to say is, folks, mark your calendar, February 24th. Then what I might ask you to do is, if you can pop over in the chat the address of the theater where you guys will be playing, that would be great. And who doesn't like a free concert? And who doesn't like to experience brand new, innovative music? So I'm going to rewind to the first thing I wanted to unpack. And Ben, you shared that you are a composer and an accordionist and a piano player. Inquiring minds want to know, which came first, the piano or the accordion?
Oh, that's a great question. I started on the piano, and I've been playing piano for a very long time, pretty much since before I can remember starting it. So it's kind of been part of my identity since I was a kid. But in college, I picked the accordion. I very vividly remember playing that for the first time. So It's kind of a different kind of journey with the accordion than the piano, but they both complement each other really beautifully, because I always tell people the piano's like a percussion instrument, like a drum, if we're thinking about the instruments in their most primitive sense, the most historic sense. And the accordion's more like a voice. It can do a lot of things that the piano can't do, with dynamics and vibrato and things like that. So between the two instruments, I feel like I have a very wide tonal palette to explore.
Oh, cool. Cool. So with the wideness of that universe of tonality, I would ask you about the name of your project, meaning the Nebula Project. Is this because you wanted to reach out into the universe and find as much as you possibly could? What was the origin of your name?
Yeah, I think that that's definitely the idea, is that so many different influences from disparate communities and all of the influences that my band members have, all of whom I've known and played with for many years at this point, at least up to 12 years, I would say. And in different contexts, I've been playing with these musicians. And when I compose, I really write with their personalities in mind as much as the instruments, you know, them as musical figures and where they're coming from. So having all influences and their influences combining from all of the different places, really trying to create a music that reaches as far as possible in all directions while still circling around some kind of common core of improvised music.
Oh, that is so cool. I have this physical image in my head of a galaxy swirling around and this bright nebula that is just drawing in light and darkness and energy and sound and rainbows. I think that the audience is going to be put to a treat in getting to experience that. And I love the idea of working with the personality of your colleagues in the project in mind as you compose, whether there's somebody who comes into the rehearsal space in a silly, zany mood, and those are the light grace notes all over the place, or if you've got somebody who perhaps had a disagreement on their way into studio and they come in with those low bass, kind of morose and dolorous sounds. I love the playfulness of that approach.
Oh, absolutely. And these guys, oh, sorry,
Nope,
go
you first.
on.
These guys, go ahead, finish.
Oh, these guys are, they're like so many musicians, they're all big characters. I've found musicians that really care about my music and are good friends on and off the bandstand, but they also have such a rich world within each of them. All of them lead their own bands. All of them play with many different bands. When you're in New York, you know, it's really such a universe of different kinds of music available to you to listen, to experience, to learn from and play together with. And they're all exploring all of those different kind of musical worlds to the fullest. And then because of that, we're kind of able to see eye to eye, you know, we're all the kinds of people that are very open-minded about what the music can be and try not to limit our imagination of, even if we've played the same song many times, we try to imagine all the different permutations of what something can be.
Cool. So I confess I'm a former New Yorker. Now I am going back over 20 years. My husband and I met there. And two questions for you. Are you actually in Manhattan or are you in one of the boroughs?
I'm in Manhattan. I live in Harlem.
Okay. Beautiful area up there. Are you affiliated with any of the schools up there, Juilliard, any of the music conservatories that are north of 95th Street?
I did a kind of unusual program, which is a joint degree program with Columbia University and Juilliard. So I took classes at both schools at the same time.
Wow. So, folks, in my knowledge and history of New York City, that means not only is he talented, he's smart.
Thank you so much.
And do you hail from New York or are you from other parts of the country?
I'm born and raised in New York. Our band members come from all over. The guitarist is from Puerto Rico. Our sax player is Japanese American by way of Los Angeles, and others are from different parts of the Northeast, but that adds to the variety of perspectives as well. It's very fun.
I think, and I may be misusing this word, but I think there's a term in cooking and in music. So all of those cultures and tastes and spices and herbs give you a kind of a brio and a stew. You can decide just how much of the Puerto Rican influence you want to put it at some point, or the American Asian with your Japanese American. Did you meet a lot of these bandmates in school, or did you come to know them in the community?
I would say a combination of those. The bass player and I went to the same program at Columbia Juilliard, and the drummer went to Manhattan School, which is very close
Right.
by. So I've known them both the longest. I've been playing with them regularly since, in the drummer's case, before I went to college, even when he was a freshman in college. So,
Wow.
and then the other musicians I met along the way, they all went to different universities. I think all of them actually, yeah, our sax player from New School, trumpet from SUNY Purchase, and our guitarist from NYU. So they all kind of, they found their way to various bands that I was playing with. I think the trumpet player actually I might have known the longest because he used to play in the band of my teacher growing up. So I met him when I was still in high school.
And can you share with our audience what the names of these bandmates and their instruments are?
Absolutely. So our trumpet player is named Wayne Tucker. He's probably the most busy trumpet player I know in New York City. He's always working with pretty much everybody. And recently he's been working a lot with his own band, which got featured in the New York Times during the pandemic, and he's doing great. Our saxophone, clarinet, flute player, Jasper Dootz. He's lead alto player in Arturo Farrell's Latin Jazz Orchestra now, and he
Ooh.
has many of his own projects as well. Incredible musician. I'm going to play with one of his bands tonight, so.
Fun. Enjoy.
And Rafael Rosa, guitarist, from Puerto Rico, amazing musician. He just got some very prestigious fellowship, maybe Guggenheim Fellowship, I think he got last year for his composition. And he's like all of my band members, they're all starting to get too busy. Marty Jaffe, our bass player, is on tour with Jazz Lincoln Center Orchestra right now. And drummer Ben Zweig is probably the person in the band I've played with the longest. He's been playing in various configurations of my band. I think we have gone more than a month without playing for the last 10 years, maybe excluding the pandemic.
Oh, that's so cool. So I'm going to put an image in your mind that you mentioned that you feel that they're all getting perhaps too busy to work with Ben Rosenblum. I would offer that Ben Rosenblum becomes the North Star by which they are able to gel and create and nurture their souls to then be able to go out and have their own projects. So claim that.
I love that. That's very flattering. And I feel very much like all of these band members are part of my family. It really feels like that close a bond. And with all of the things that family comes with in the best ways, like they're always very open to me when I bring in new compositions, like what they like, what they would change. They're always open to me about how they want to be utilized in the band and what kind of music is most interesting to them right now. And I love that so much. It feels very much like I can have an open dialogue with all of the band members. And I think that translates to the stage as well. You'll see the kind of comfort and familiarity that comes with that on the stage and the interaction.
Yeah, the camaraderie. Yeah.
Yes.
And there is nothing I love more than watching a bunch of musicians up on stage play and actually tickle one another when some passage or phrase is slightly different from the way you've done it before, and it tickles somebody's funny bone, and then everybody gets in the act just laughing and riffing off of it. That's a powerful, powerful energy. So
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
University of Tampa, you have, let me just reiterate, if anybody's joining this conversation midstream, we are talking with Ben Rosenblum, esteemed New York City musician who will be coming down to play for the Tampa Bay area at the Furman Center for the Arts at 214 North Boulevard in Tampa, Florida. What time does the concert start, Ben?
It should start at 7 p.m. and run for about 75 minutes, would be my guess. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So we're talking about an hour and 15 minutes. It's an opportunity to be transported into another galaxy through Ben's music. Have you known all your life, and this is a question I love to ask fellow musicians, I'm always curious, What drew you to music? Did you know at an early age, or did you discover it in band in middle school, or how did that journey take place?
I knew from a young age that I found music to be the most captivating thing for me. I didn't know what having a career in music looked like at that age. So I think growing up was kind of a process of learning about that as much as it was, just like trying to figure out if that lifestyle was something that, I really wanted to pursue. And the answer to that ended up being yes. I love, every part of having a career in music, even when it gets difficult and adverse. It really feels like you're in control of the ship. You're driving the ship, and you can steer it in any direction creatively, career-wise. I think that maybe a lot of young musicians have a very limited view of what a music career can be. And in my life, I've been fortunate to have so many opportunities from very, very different parts of the music world, from playing big theaters with Ricky Lee Jones
Oh,
recently,
how fun.
to,
Wow.
yeah,
Yeah.
to, playing Indian music with Karen Ahluwalia, who's a Juno Award-winning Indian contemporary ghazal composer, like playing French music with the singer Laura Anglade, an up-and-coming amazing young singer, playing Brazilian forró music with Nega Santos every week for couple years during the pandemic for dancers, and just like really being pulled in many different directions and not saying no to any of it, just letting it happen. And I don't know if I foresaw even 5% of what a music career could be. But when I was young, the thing I liked the most was just sitting down at the piano and starting to play without music. And before I knew anything about jazz or improvisation, that I wasn't the most diligent about practicing my classical music, but I was always happy to sit down at the piano and do that. And that led me, my mom, who's a big jazz fan, gave me Keith Jarrett's Cone Concert and was like, this is like a, this is like a higher version of what love doing anyways. You should learn about jazz. And all of a sudden it just opened up this huge world.
So I'm going to date myself in terms of being in New York City, but I'm curious, where are the venues? We have people here in the Tampa Bay area who periodically travel to New York. Where might a typical musical location where you might be playing out on a Thursday night be, for instance? Are there regular spots that you play?
Well, I would say that there are a couple different answers to that, but I'll try to keep it concise. There's the historical jazz clubs that are still around, the Village Vanguard, the Blue Note, Birdland. Jazz at Lincoln Center is a little more recent, but these kinds of bigger clubs I play at occasionally with different acts. And, Smalls and Mesro, I probably play the most with my band when we do feature shows in New York. Those are both in the West Village, and a lot of those clubs are in the West Village. If we're talking about clubs that young musician-led bands are playing at for audiences of younger people, most of those are in Brooklyn at this point. Whether that's in Williamsburg and Bushwick's the most up-and-coming area right now. There are a number of different places. There's a club called Lunatico in Crown Heights as well that does books more world music. So as I've delved deeper into the world music landscape, I've been playing more at Lunatico as well. And these are smaller clubs in Brooklyn, but really very good energy. I would definitely recommend if somebody were visiting to New York and they wanted to see a representation of jazz in New York, that they book one show at a place like the Village Vanguard, where it's like older generation legends of jazz, and then go to one show at a Brooklyn club like Ornithology or Lunatico or some of these newer clubs where it's more younger audiences. And both of those experiences are just so incredible.
So you've mentioned that you used to travel, or you still do occasionally travel with a smaller group of musicians, maybe three others plus yourself. And then you've now got six in this configuration that's coming to Tampa. Do you have a favorite configuration, or are there favorite aspects of these at least two different configurations that you get excited about when you know you're going to play with one or the other?
Definitely. I would say the sextet is amazing in terms of being able to explore compositionally, also having so many creative visions on the stage at the same time. It really leads to being able to explore so many different musical aspects of what I love. With the trio, I would say that the fun part of playing in a trio for me, and I've done it for many years now, is that, with three people as opposed to six, it's much easier for things to change radically at any moment. Just be very open to whatever direction it goes in. With six people, this can also happen, but five other people have to be on board if somebody decides to go in a certain direction. And so I feel like with the sextet, it's a little bit more about the compositional aspect, and with the trio, it's a little bit more about the fully in the moment spontaneity, though there's aspects of both of those in both settings. Something else I really love doing is playing solo piano, which I've been doing some in New York recently, and I do some on the road as well. And solo is like full spontaneity. I have nobody to be accountable for. I can go in any direction at any point. So then that's also incredibly fun. It's just a lot harder because you have nobody else to lean on.
So, injecting a little bit about myself in here, I sing big band and jazz standards and singing with smaller combos. And it is such a joy to experience that full texture of sound that honestly, if I never opened my mouth, I would get joy out of that music because it is so driving and enveloping, and it can be soft and sweet like a dense fog wrapping itself around you, or it can be this flat out driving horns and drums and kind of what I think of as the taxi horn effect of music coming at the audience. But it's why I asked you the question about, do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I got an opportunity a little over a year ago to, it was just, they needed an accordionist to do the Godfather soundtrack, but I got to play with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, and there was a couple moments where the accordion's playing the main theme and everyone else is just accompanying underneath. I was like, whoa,
Isn't
this really feel,
that?
yeah, I really feel that. Oh my goodness. There are 50 people supporting me right now. That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And I wish that I were able to publish this as a video because the audience, I want you to know that as he described that moment of playing that solo, he physically lifted up out of his seat like he was totally transported. So hold that image in your head and look for those moments. We are running out of time, Ben. I'm going to give you a moment to say anything you want, but I'd ask the audience to hold that image in your head as you come and look for those moments on stage with Ben Rosenblum and his Nebula project with his six instruments. Again, that's going to be at the Furman Center for the Arts at 214 North Boulevard, Tampa, Florida. 33606 is the zip code. The show begins at 7 p.m., and you've got about 75 minutes to be totally transported. So, Ben, what didn't I ask you that you wanted to be sure and get out there for our audience to know about Ben Rosenblum?
Oh, I mean, I could talk about music all day. It really is so much fun, especially with a musician like yourself. It really, you understand how music transports you. I'll say last time, the first time we performed at the University of Tampa, and maybe this speaks to the way the audience can be part of the music. The first time we performed at the University of Tampa, I remember very vividly one of the attendees, said, "Give me your email. I wrote a whole collection of poetry that I was so inspired by your music that I wrote."
Oh,
Well, yeah, and I always feel like With jazz music, I think sometimes people feel that it might be abstract or, but I really feel like I want to connect to people where they are. You know, I always feel like with my music, I focus on melody, I focus on rhythm. I just focused on the kind of the most basic musical things that drove me to love music and that I connect with when I go see musicians perform. And I want my audience to feel welcomed and, you know, encouraged to engage with the music and in whatever capacity they find most satisfying to them. I hope y'all will join me. The University of Tampa's theater is really beautiful. It's the Charlene Gordon Theater at the Furman Center for the Arts. The first time we played at University of Tampa, we did it at one of their church chapel spaces, and that was really beautiful too. But the new art space was just built in the last couple of years, so it's brand new. It sounds gorgeous, and you know, the people there really treat us very well. I think it's going to be a really wonderful evening, February 24th. We'll just have performed in Orlando and Miami the two previous days, so we'll be all warmed up.
It's
And
stoked.
yeah.
All right. Well, again, that's February 24th, 7 p.m., Furman Center for the Arts, 214 North Boulevard, Tampa, Florida. Do not miss the incredible Ben Rosenblum and his Nebula project. And I hear that Ben is looking to take the energy of the audience in and feed it right back to us, folks. Ben, thank you so very much for
Absolutely.
your time. Thank you.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.